Yes. Welcome to the Science to Get Enriched podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. It expands. It manifests. 2019, the new year's kicked off. Hope you were able to celebrate with loved ones. Get your mind right. I mean, half the battle to building wealth, half the battle to getting rich, it's having a plan. You have to have a plan. The book, The Science of Getting Rich, is kind of like a, I wouldn't say a roadmap, more of a, what would it be? A playbook, a plan to keep you thinking right. While the beginning of the book says it's not a philosophy or philosophical, I disagree, and I think because the book was written in 1905, sometimes terms and ideas change. In chapter one, we dealt with some harsh things. And chapter one is where we get this idea that it's impossible to live a complete and full life unless one is rich. And I discussed how that can rub against you, that it rubbed against me, that it seems, I don't know, maybe unfair. It seems, I don't think it's saying that you can't live a good life. It's saying that you can't live a full and complete life. And if you think about that, it's kind of hard to argue with that. I mean, a lot of us would do a lot more things. We'd do different things. We would go different places. We might live with different people. We might invest different if we had more money, right? So we can't argue with the fact that if we had a lot more money, our life would be different. And if there's anything you would do different or buy or get or acquire or have because you had more money, well, then we could say you're not living your fullest life because you haven't acquired enough money to actually live that full life. And so it makes sense when you think of it like that. I mean, if I had $1 billion, what would I do different tomorrow than I did today? And so there's obviously, I can have a personally meaningful life, but there's going to be things that I'm not able to accomplish at the end of my days. There's things that I just wasn't able to do because I just didn't have enough money to accomplish them. And I think most of us are going to have that problem. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. You know, I meet so many people, customers and clients of mine, they're in their 50s, they're in their 60s, some 70s, and they talk as if and walk as if and carry themselves as if somehow they're at the end or somehow they can't accomplish these things they want it to accomplish. And I completely disagree. You know my philosophy by now. I believe that anyone, regardless of age, race, or financial situation, can become rich in the next 7 to 10 years. I didn't say a billionaire, maybe not even a millionaire. I have family members would feel pretty damn rich if they just had $100,000. And so the term is relative. A couple million bucks, you ain't rich to me. That's not rich. But I know people who would feel pretty damn rich with a couple $1 million, right? And so this term is relative, but rich in the sense that they get to live out their life and do the things they wanted to do and travel and just live that rich and complete full life. You can't do it when you're broke. I think we would all agree you can't do it on welfare. And so, obviously, acquiring more money would help us live that full and complete life. The Science of Gets Rich defined the idea that being successful is being able to be and to do what it is you want to do. And then, unfortunately, in the world that we live in, this world that revolves around money, I mean, you can't leave your house. Just for giggles the other day, I began to record all of the taxes I was paying as I went about my day. I stopped at the convenience store, boom, taxes. Had to go through a toll road, boom, taxes. Had to pick up something for the wife, boom, taxes. Had to run up to Home Depot's, I was working on a house, boom, taxes. Went up to Sonic to get some lunch, boom, taxes. At the end of the day, just moving around about my normal day, I paid like $8.50-something in taxes. And so, unfortunately, we live in a world where we need money. Chapter 2 takes a little bit different tone. In chapter 1, the main emphasis of chapter 1 was this idea that you had a right, an inalienable right, in the same way that we believe in America, that regardless of sex or age or sexual orientation, you have a right to be free. The Science of Getting Rich establishes in chapter 1 that you have a right to be wealthy. And that if you don't pick up that right, if you don't pick up that crown, if you decide not to accept what is yours, that was you. It wasn't the universe. It wasn't because you were born on the wrong side of town, and we're going to see that in chapter 2. It's not because you didn't possess enough skills or you were too young or too old. In every one of those situations, you'll find someone who acquires riches. Chapter 2 establishes the idea that while in chapter 1 you had a right to become rich, in chapter 2 we learn that there's an actual science to it. And when they use the term science, they mean there's a method. There's a logical course of action. There's a way to do things and there's a way not to do things. And it doesn't matter how smart you are or how skilled you are. If you do things in a certain way, you will acquire riches and become wealthy. You can just look at simple compound charts. When you started working at the age of 20, if you began putting $200 a month away and you did that until the age of 65, you would have millions and millions and millions of dollars with mathematical certainty. Over the U.S. history, go back, even though there's been stock market crashes, even though there's been wars, even though there's been recessions, this has played out year after year after year, and yet people still don't do it. Even with the evidence, with a 100-plus-year track record, people being born today, turning 22 today, don't do it. That simple bet. My next-door neighbor retired from the state after 30 years. He started work there at 18 years old? Anyway, he's 52 years old and retired. Completely retired. He'll receive severance for the rest of his life. He's only 52 years old. He's done. Gets $3,000 a month for the rest of his life. He earned that money, without a doubt. That was the deal. Put in the 30 years, we'll pay you for life. I recently gave him a copy of my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, the one I mentioned before the podcast, and I read it, and he goes, yeah, I could see how that could work for some people. Apparently there are some people that it couldn't work for. I said, what do you mean? Who couldn't it work for? And he goes, well, I just, you know, I'm not into that kind of stuff. I don't do that kind of stuff. Okay. And here's the kicker. He's a smart guy. Probably smarter than me. Probably smarter than me, to be honest. Somewhat of a handy guy, too. And so we see the two people can live side by side in the same neighborhood. You're going to see this in the book. Science Get Rich says two people can live side by side in the same neighborhood, in the same town, on the same street, and one gets rich and one doesn't. I'm living proof of that. On either side of me are normal middle-class people. And I'm worth millions of dollars. How's that possible? I worked the same place he worked at for 3 years. How's that possible? Because there's a science to getting rich. There's a path. You can choose it or not choose it. Now you could say to yourself, ah, that's not my thing. I'm not that smart. Okay. You can say that. And he did. And hey, I respect it. I don't bash people who decide they don't want to get wealthy. I mean, if you've made that decision, just, you know, don't ask me to pay more taxes when you're broke and old. Because you've decided to reject this philosophy of becoming wealthy. I mean, if it was up to me, honestly, I'd sit everyone down at the age of 22, explain to them for an entire week how compound interest works, and let them know there will be no Social Security for you, and we'd fix this problem right now. And they can choose to have assistance through their own investing when they're older, or choose to receive nothing. I would stop this nonsense of paying for them and allow them to have their own money and invest their own money. But that's not the world we live in. That's the way I would like to do it. I would prefer not to pay into Social Security because I understand the science of getting rich, and I can take that money and apply it into my own investing and do even better. Pretty sure I can manage the money better than the U.S. government. There is a science to getting rich, and it's an exact science, like an algebra or arithmetic. There are certain laws that govern the process of acquiring riches, and once these laws are learned and obeyed by any man or woman, he or she will get rich with mathematical certainty. I often talk about this idea of doing the math for the millionaire, just back your way out. You could save $100,000 a year for 10 years, you'd have $1 million. Well, that's too long. We'll cut it in half. You could save $50,000 a year for 20 years, right? Begin to break this down. Then we could say, okay, well, this is the math. Now, how could we accelerate it? Well, we could start a business. We could start a side hustle. But the only way, and most of us don't make $1 million. I've never made $1 million, but I've accumulated $1 million. How do you accumulate $1 million? Understanding the science of getting rich. That there is a certain way. Understanding the time, leverage, yield. Understanding how these all work together. And as I began this journey of trying to understand this, and it's not about just saving money every month, invest it, compound it over time, and you'll grow and you'll get rich, because that works. That actually works. But it's not the fastest way. It's actually one of the slower ways, but it works. It's guaranteed. I call it the dumb man's bet, meaning just anybody could do it. Just a lot of certain amount, do it every month consistently all of your life, boom, you're a millionaire. It's simple. Anybody can do this. You don't need to know anything about finance. It is, you just have to decide to go down that path and be like my neighbor who said, that's not for me. See, what he was saying is, being rich isn't for me, Gerald. I prefer to be poor if it means any sort of sacrifice at all. If it means I got to give up anything, I'd just soon be poor. Not realizing that he gave up the one thing, because guess what now? Now that he's retired, getting his $3,000 a month, he realizes that's not a lot of money. And he realizes, man, I'm only 52 years old. So what is he doing now? After having a government job that consistently paid him through every war, every recession, consistently over and over and over, and living a life of rejecting the idea of the science of getting rich, rejecting the idea of investing, choosing to look the other way and just saying, I don't want to know anything about that. Now he finds himself, he's got to go get a job. And so at a time in his life where he should have millions of dollars plus his retirement, he doesn't have that. And when I try to pitch him on these ideas, hey, dude, anybody can become rich or financially independent in the next 7 to 10 years. You're only 52. I could show you how to do it by the time you're 62. Oh, 62 is too old. I'm like, what are you talking about? I talk to 72-year-olds. You want to live the decade from 62 to 72, bro? How about the decade of 72 to 82, bro? I just spoke with a man on the phone the other day. He's 91. He was looking for ways to make money. That's 40 years from now for my friend. But he doesn't have time. And so he continues to reject the path to building wealth. He continues to reject the idea of the science of getting rich, and choose instead hard labor to just get by, check by check by check. And that's a choice. That's a choice. Many people, my own family, have chosen that path. You may have chosen that path, but you can stop that today. You can stop that like this. You can begin to build wealth almost immediately. Almost immediately. The ownership and money and property comes as a result of doing things in a certain way. And those who do things in this certain way, whether on purpose or accidentally, get rich. While those who do not do things in a certain way, no matter how hard they work or able they are, remain poor. My friend worked hard. I know where he worked. They put in an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. And after 30 years, you get low pay. I wouldn't call that being rich. I'm assuming neither would you. It is a natural law that like causes always produce like effects, and therefore any man or woman who learns to do things in a certain way infallibly will get rich. That the above statement is true is shown by the following facts. Getting rich is not a matter of environment. For if it were, all people in certain neighborhoods would be what become wealthy, and the people of one city would all be rich, while those in other towns would all be poor. Or the inhabitants of one state would roll in wealth, while those who live in adjoining state would all live in poverty. But everywhere we see rich and poor living side by side in the same environment, often engaged in the same vocations. This summer I'm vacationing with a friend of mine. It's actually a friend of my wife's husband. She went to college with his wife. They're BFFs. These people own a bug business, a extermination business, whatever they call that. Simple business. Exterminate houses, and they've built it up. They have 6-7 employees. They have contracts with hospitals and, you know, assisted living homes and hotels. His wife runs the office. He's out killing bugs during the day. His wife's degree is actually in business. It's not a complicated business. One of the people who rents a home from me, he also is an exterminator. But he works for an exterminator here in Texas. He's engaged in the same business that my friend from Georgia is engaged in. Now, my friend from Georgia is a multimillionaire, 6-7 employees, owns 2 houses, stocks, cars, kids went to college, multimillionaire. And he's not even that good with money. Quite wasteful, I think, but he's done okay. And here's a man of about the same age, been doing the business about the same time frame. My friend in Georgia has been doing it for about 18 years. The gentleman who rents the house from me has been doing it about 15 years. They're both doing the same business, same line of work. And yet one lives month to month, paycheck to paycheck. Seem both about as intelligent, to be honest. My friend in Georgia's not super smart. Just a normal good guy, good work ethic, family man. Not a business genius by any stretch of the imagination. And whether he knows it or not, he's applying, he's doing things in a certain way. He's building his business around the principles of the science of getting rich. Now, he doesn't realize that because he's not the kind of guy who reads these kind of books. He's just not. He's doing it naturally. I'm sure some of it's his wife. Point being, they're living their life according to a philosophy, a strategy of building wealth. And the other guy involved in the exact same business, working probably just as hard, will never become rich, ever. He's doing everything wrong. I know, I see his finances. He's got car payments. He doesn't own a home, he rents from me. He's got credit card debt. He has child support with an ex-wife. He's literally done everything wrong. And continues to do everything wrong. Now, I don't go around giving advice where advice isn't solicited. But I could help him. I could sit him down and give him a plan and show him what he should be doing. But he doesn't want to be rich. Now, if you asked him, would you like to be rich? Sure. But I'm going to assure you that just like my friend next door, if it involves any sort of sacrifice, he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. And if we could figure out that, why? Why am I obsessed with it and the renter's not obsessed with it? Why? Where does that come from? Are we born with it? Is it in our DNA? I think was talking with my son, and I explained to him yesterday that I think some of it is how we see money. See, to me, money's a tool. It's also how we keep score. You know you're doing okay. You know your business idea is valid. You know the market agrees with you based on sales. No sales, nobody likes what you're doing, right? Now, doesn't mean they won't like it. You may need to change the way you're presenting it, marketing. There can be other factors, but over a certain period of time, we can say, listen, nobody wants this. Nobody wants this product. We can come to some sort of conclusion. Getting rich involves in the necessity of dealing with men and of being where there are people to deal with. And if these people are inclined to deal with you in a way that you want to deal, so much the better. But that's about as far as environment goes. In other words, what we're talking about is this idea, and I've said this a lot in some of my books, that all of the money that you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbooks of other people. Grant Cardone's famous for saying, who's got my money? What he's saying is, who's my customer? Because if you can't identify who your customer is, you're going to have a hard time getting money from him, right? And so part of the science of getting rich is this idea of realizing that other people have all the money that you want. And so if you're the kind of person that doesn't like to deal with people, I get this a lot in real estate. Well, I don't want people calling me in the middle of the night. I do. See, if you're calling me in the middle of the night, it's because I own shit. Because I'm the owner, right? It doesn't mean I have to respond. Just because you call me in the middle of the night, I don't have to call you back. I got insurance. Burn it down. Do me a favor. I'll take the money from the insurance and buy five more. In other words, their emergency ain't my emergency. So people make it up in their mind that, oh my God, these people are going to be calling me. It's the same train of thought as, well, I don't understand stocks. Okay? I don't understand aeroflight, but I fly on airplanes, right? I know how to maneuver through the airport and get on a plane and go through boarding and checking in. And I can do all of that, and I don't know how to fly an airplane. I know enough about airplanes to know how to get from here to Las Vegas, but I don't know how to fly airplanes. In other words, I can invest and not need to know all these things, right? I own rental properties and I can't level a house. I don't even fix my own plumbing. Now, I do a lot of my work. But a lot of these things, these hangups that we get, these are the things that keep people from getting rich. They get hung up on these things in their mind. They get hung up on them. And so as you go into this new year, if you have this idea, look, I want to build some wealth, then here's some things you got to do. You have to stop being foolish with your money, first and foremost. You have to stop chasing get-rich-quick schemes and ways of making money and doing all these things that aren't guaranteed. I'm not saying you stop chasing guaranteed. If someone says, hey, I'll pay you $50 to mow my yard, you mow their yard. See, that's not an investment. That's not hoping this works. That's not joining some program where you hope you start making money. Now, I'm all for those. I'm a professional network marketer. I recruit people all the time to join my programs, right? I'm always selling. I write books. I sell books. I sell leads. I rent houses. I do, like, of course, I want people to do that. But you can't do it if you don't have your money right. The reason people quit doing my network marketing program, it's not because they're worried about network marketing. They ain't got no money. And the reason they don't have any money is they're dumb with their money. Now, they won't say that, but I think you need to have that conversation with yourself. I've done a lot of dumb things with money. And you just need to look at it for what it is and realize what it is and say it out loud and own it. And then decide at that moment you're going to start doing smart things with money. Not investing in the stock market is dumb. Period. Dumb. You can choose to be dumb. You can look at this 100-year track record and say, no, I don't want any part in that. Now, I get it. You may not want to put all your money in the stock market. Cool. Only about 25% of my wealth is in the stock market. The rest is in physical real estate. But you have to do something. You can't just go through another year without building wealth for yourself. And so if you have debt, get rid of it. I think this is the number one killer in my business is people have debt. I'm not talking about your house. I'm talking about everything else. I'm not talking about debt on real estate. I'm talking about everything else. And so they give up any right they have to being rich. Remember in the beginning of the book, it says you have a right to it? And then you go around giving away that right. I talked about this a few messages ago. Most people have given over their right to be rich to Visa, MasterCard, college loans, banks, mortgage, Countrywide, Bank of America. You're doing everything you can to build everyone else's wealth but yours. This is not doing things in a certain way. See, doing things in a certain way, you collect interest. You sell things to people. You collect dividends. You collect rent. You're in the collecting of money business, not in the paying out business. There should be a whole lot more collecting than there is sending out. I mean, you just look at the scales. Do you write more bills at the end of the month than you collect commission checks? And at some point, you have to own up to that. Say, okay, I've been a terrible manager. See, if you can't manage your own money, how are you going to run a business? If you can't manage your own finances, if you don't have your own interest at heart, if you're not investing, another year goes by and you're still not investing, how could you have anyone else's interest at heart? See, I don't believe you can truly say, oh, I'm, it's all about my family, and you don't invest. How are you going to take care of your family when you're poor? You're going to become a burden to your family. I mean, how do we do? Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. How are you going to give if you don't have anything? And so the first thing we have to be concerned with is building wealth. As the head of the household, as a single mom, as a father, who's the man of a house, building wealth should be one of your primary goals. You should be thinking about this every day. People say, well, that's an unhealthy obsession. How could protecting your family be an unhealthy obsession? And they say, well, there's more to life than money. Yeah, but you can't do the other more without money. You can't. The only people who say these things are people whose kids are healthy and everything's okay and they're broke. And they'll make up for it. And well, because I promise you, as soon as the kid is sick, as soon as the hospital bills are pouring in, or there's a wreck, or you're laid off at work, money's going to get real important. Real important. And so your first goal, running you incorporated, is you have to eliminate all debt. You need to be receiving interest, not paying interest. I'm going to exclude the house. Houses are super expensive, but me personally, I paid my home off. I took a 3-year period, and every dollar, every cent I made, I pounded that mortgage. Why? Because I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I can't be that. I can't be what I want to be if I got car payments, house payments, credit card payments. I got all these things pulling me over here, making me take a job that I don't want, making me do a crappy job for 30 years to get a pension and still be broke. I didn't want that. Because I believe that anyone, regardless of age or race or financial situation, could become rich in 7 to 10 years. I believed that. I still believe it. And every 7 to 10 years, I'm trying to get rich again. And again. And again. I want to double. My goal is to double every 7 to 10 years. I want to double. And when I'm 80 to 90, I want to double. 40 to 50, double. 50 to 60, double. So I'm coming up on 50. So I got to take my million, I got to double them. Which means I got to step up. I got to think bigger. I got to do more research. I got to get my shit together. The last thing I'm going to do is give it to a stupid bank or credit cards or some stupid payday loan. The things that I watch people take their hard-earned money. I think the thing is, my love for money, I can't give it away. I watch people give it to the dumbest things, spend it on the stupidest things, have no idea where it goes. They can't explain it. They don't know how much they make. They don't know what their budget is. They don't know how much they have invested. They don't know. They're so disconnected. And believe me, there's an entire industry that wants you mentally disconnected from your money. If I walk up to you and say, what's your net worth? And you're like, let me think a second here. You gotta think around this for a minute. You can't just answer me. You don't even understand what's going on with your money. What you think about comes about, what you focus on grows. I don't say that to just say it. It's because it's true. And so if you don't have the net worth you want, I assure you part of the reason is you don't focus on the net worth you have. So you take the one you have. Now, in order to know it, you have to know it. In order to be grateful for one of the chapters we're going to see as we get past chapter 2, one of the chapters is gratitude. How can you be grateful for something you don't even know what it is? And so going into this new year, what's your net worth? Now, net worth isn't the most important number, but net worth is essential. How much money are you worth? Boom, if you died and they took everything you have, your liabilities against your assets, that's your net worth. Take the equity in your home. If you owe a little bit, subtract that from that and figure out what that number is. You need to write that number down. And that's the number you're fighting against. That number needs to grow. That number should grow every month, as far as I'm concerned. Now, the advent of the stock market is going to go up and down, up and down. So maybe tracking net worth every month is unnecessary, but I do. Every month. Every month. Every month I go and I print off all the real estate that I own. On my website, I have pictures of the houses. I print them all off. And on that sheet of paper, I go back and I look at every loan and I write down the loans on the balance of each house and I write little notes about things we did. I didn't say I looked at it on a computer. I said I printed it off the computer and then I hand wrote the balances. Why? Because what you think about comes about and what you focus on grows. And so if you went driving with me, I'd say, see that house? I owe $41,200. Oh, you see that store over there? Ticker symbol, CVX, Chevron, pays a 4.2% dividend. Why would I know that? Because I own shares in that. And so people own shares in things and they don't even know the PE ratio or how much it pays out in dividends. What you think about comes about and what you focus on grows. So I'm talking about taking this to another level. That it's always on mine. The Apostle Paul wrote in his writing, some of you are Christians, some of you are not, but he said you should pray without ceasing. That people were asking for instructions on prayer. You know, how often should we pray? Because, you know, Muslims, they pray 5 times a day and they point through here and everything's super ritualistic and the Buddhists do that. Paul said, no, you misunderstand. You should just always be praying. Now, obviously you can't do that, but what he's saying, you should live a life that's an exhibit of prayer. Everything should be prayer. That's taking Christianity, what? To another level, right? So your net worth should be on your mind. If you don't know your net worth right now, I know you don't have any money. I'm watching an interview with Buffett and she asked him how much cash they had. He said $34 billion. He was rounding up. I'm not saying you know to the penny. Well, I mean, you could. I'm not saying to the penny. I round up, you know. I mean, I'm using rounding numbers, but I'm pretty much in the ballpark. Close enough for hand grenades, right? He said $34 billion. Like, he didn't think about it. Boom! He told her. Why? He probably just looked at it. So I look at mine every day. There are actually people who advocate you should not look at your investments every day because it might make you do something stupid. Well, if you do that, that's just because you're stupid. Let's just call it what it is. If you're so weak-minded that looking at your investments make you do something that you didn't have planned because you saw a price, that's people who are actually not following the science of getting rich. They're too stupid to be doing it. There's no other explanation. And if you've done that, I've done it. I'm talking to myself. I've done this. Where something that was a logical investment, now I see the price and I completely lose my mind and sell it. I've done this. And it's so dumb. And then I look back 5-6 months later, and I was like, why did I do that? I don't do that for a rent house. I've had to lower rent on rent houses. I didn't run out and sell the house. But people get tripped up. Why would they get tripped up on something like that? Because they're not studying this idea of getting rich. Their net worth isn't always forefront in their mind. It's not an obsession of theirs. Now, most people, they don't because they don't believe they can get rich. So why sit around thinking about something that you don't actually believe you can do? I understand that. I get it. But hopefully that's not you. It ain't me. I'm gonna die trying. The Bible says a godly man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That's grandkids. Hmm. So I print off every house, and I have little notes about them, balance paid off, if I have a loan on it. I go down the list. I total up what my rents are. Every month I do this. I know what they are. And every month I write each one, $800 a month for this house, $400 a month for this house. Here's my, and I look at last month's sheet and I go, okay, insurance is set aside is $47. Taxes set aside is $98. Gross profit rent potential is, you know, $218. Boom, 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 boom. Now I run a portfolio of houses, so I don't set money aside for each particular house for each thing. I just know my totals. And so as all the rent comes in, I set aside a certain amount for CapEx, for that's repairs. I set aside for insurance. I set aside for more, you know, for paying mortgages, because I do these all at one time at the end of the year. And so I have a lump sum. All this money comes in. This money is allocated to separate accounts. This is what's left. That's my profit. So I set aside 10% of all rent collection for repairs. That goes into a separate account. Attached to that account is a credit card that we use to buy and do repairs. So it's an American Express card, actually, attached to a checking account. I have a separate, sacred account that all the money that goes in that account is to pay property taxes. So 12 payments go in, one payment comes out. Segregated, sacred, never gets messed with ever under any. Someone could be dying. They're just going to die. That money's not used. That's how sacred it is. This is how serious you have to get about your money. And so to live my life is 13 checking accounts. 13 checking accounts, 30 plus insurance contracts, 30 plus insurance contracts, 13 computers, 4 internet connections, 6 cell phones, 2 work cars, 2 buildings. So I can't let any of this overwhelm me. This is why I gotta stay in it every day. I gotta know all these houses. I gotta know what. Sorry, I had a call. But the idea is I go down and I print off every house. And so I have all these pages stapled together with pictures of the house and I show the money. Why? My mind on my money. And on there I have little notes from previous month, and I carry this in a binder. Not a binder, but it's like a book where I keep notes, and honestly, most of the things in there are goal type things, but I will write notes to myself. Now, so I have that. And then I print off all of the stocks that I own. I print off all the stocks that I own. And then I go in there and I go in E-Trade and I click 1 year and I pull up all the dividends that I'll receive that are projected to be paid out over the next year. And it gives me a total. And on that account, I write that total. And I run 4 different accounts, and on each account, I put the balance, you know, it shows me the balance. I see the stocks and I write how much I'm going to collect in income, because I only buy things that pay me money. And so I take these 40, 50 stocks and I have the totals over here, and it shows me how much money I'm going to make. Now, I've been doing this month after month after month for years and years and years and years. So I can go back 4 years, pull out a folder that says, you know, January 2014, pull it out, see the printouts. Oh, look at that, less houses. Oh, look at that. The stock thing was a lot less. And I can see the compounding. I can see the wealth being built. And I can project out. And I can say, look, it's working. It's true that anyone, regardless of age, race, or financial situation, can change their life in 7 to 10 years and become financially independent and possibly rich. Anyone. And then I go and I print off the bank account of my business. And those are 4 or 5 different bank accounts. And I print them all off. And it shows me all the totals. And I write that up top big, you know, if it's 17,000, whatever the number is, right? I write that up top. Why? I want to see these transactions. I want to see every single day how much money did we deposit. I don't, you know, some of it comes through PayPal and some through credit cards and some checks. That's fine. I don't need to see all of those accounts. I need to see the bank statements, because the bank statements will show me daily deposits, whether they were electronic or cash. Boom, 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 boom. And I keep all of this with me all the time. When I go to bed, beside my bed is this little journal book of mine, and in the back, folded, is this little these little printouts that I just said. They're just, you know, stapled together. Couple, 3-4 pages for the houses, 3-4 pages for each one of the stock accounts, stapled together, folded over, and I can just open it up. And my wife will say, why do you look at these all the time? See, she doesn't understand the science of getting rich. My family doesn't get it. See, when I say things to them like, what you think about comes about, and what you focus on grows, they laugh at me. It's so silly. While it manifests in their life. While I make it happen in their life. They don't even get it. And so I don't expect friends to get it. I don't expect most people to get it. But some people get it. That what you think about comes about. And that what you focus on grows. If getting rich is a result of doing things in a certain way, and if like causes always produce like effects, then any man or woman who can do things in a certain way can become rich. The whole matter is brought within the domain of an exact science. The question arises here whether this certain way may not be so difficult that only a few people can do it. This cannot be true. As we have seen, so far as natural ability is concerned, talented people get rich and blockheads get rich. Intellectually brilliant people get rich and very stupid people get rich. Physically strong people get rich and weak people and sickly people get rich. Some degree of ability to think and to understand is of course essential. But insofar as natural ability is concerned, any man or woman who has sense enough to read and understand these words can most certainly get rich.